Oh, hey guys, this is Jennifer from the Shooter's Mindset, and we are live with episode 433 with my crazy co-hosts that are looking really insane at the moment, but that's okay.
There's actually only one co-host this time. We have a co-host and a guest.
Would you shush and let me do intros?
I mean,
So we have our co-hosts of tonight. We have Greg Cannon. How's it going?
good. How about y'all?
Good. You ran a match this weekend?
I did. We ran some Pawtucket NRL 22 this weekend.
Hey, guess what? I shot a match this weekend.
Oh, you did? Where'd you
I had a
shoot?
girl. At Pawtucket, I shot the 22 NRL.
Nice.
Our other
Oh, I'm getting out
co-host,
there.
we've got Corey Kay. How's it going, Corey?
Well, you'd be shocked. I did not shoot a match, but I took a class and shot like 2,600 rounds in 2 days.
But I shot more matches than Corey.
God.
Jennifer shot
Oh.
more matches than Corey.
That is a first. I shot more matches than Corey King.
Now,
2 weeks in a row, man.
he may have fired more rounds this weekend than you have in the past 3 years, but
Doesn't matter. It was not a match.
you
Doesn't
shot more
matter.
matches than him.
You know what? I'm going to count it. I award you a point.
That's right. All right. And our guest of the hour tonight, one that everyone really wants to hear from, is, oh, wait. It's our very own Corey Kay.
I don't know that they want to hear from me, but I'm here.
All right, so we wanted to talk a little bit about USPSA, the state of it, and your bid. But just for anybody, I know you're on the show every week, but we don't necessarily go into like your intro and how you got into shooting and all that. So for anybody that doesn't know you, tell us a little bit about you. And how you got into shooting and all that.
I got into shooting because I really like guns. I have a picture of me and my pops with like a play school kid's desk and a pellet gun. It's like my favorite picture in the world when I was four, and we're just shooting stuff in the backyard. Started USPSA in like 2014, because I wanted to do more than just go to a square range. Shot a whole bunch in 2015, 2016, picked up three gun, picked up PRS. Picked up all sorts of sports along the way, tech games. Shot all the Steel Challenge and USPSA divisions to Grandmaster. Had a couple top 10 finishes at Nationals. But yeah, I really just like shooting. That's it. I like shooting a lot.
You like shooting a lot. So, this area director of USPSA, what do they do?
More or less, they function like any board of directors member. So they kind of steer the organization. There's a pretty decent outline on USPSA's website, but in my opinion, the area director should be exactly that. They should be doing everything in the best interest of the organization and in the background. And a general member shouldn't even really know they're doing anything. They should just know it's going in a positive direction. So, like governance, oversight, your general board of directors position for a nonprofit. But USPSA is unique in that they acquired Steel Challenge some years ago. So the USPSA area directors also should have Steel Challenge's best interests in mind. And that hasn't necessarily always been the case. But it's becoming more the case. USPSA also has obviously multi-gun and everything that falls under those rule sets. And they're, I guess, the IPSC region for the US for people that care about IPSC and international stuff. But that's more or less what an area director should be doing. A lot of the nitty-gritty that not many people care about, but needs to get done. I don't really think it should be a position that you do for a long time. Kind of like any public service, I think you should give back to something that, gave you a lot and then kind of move on with life.
So do y'all, does that mean that you will run the Area 4 USPSA matches and the student
So
matches, or do you just coordinate? Like, are you the match director? Do you just coordinate it? How does that work?
It can be either. So the director would be responsible for making sure the match happens. So for example, when Chad Stanton was Area 4 director, I ran the Area 4 Steel Challenge in 2021. So it can be given out to a club. It can be bid on. Last year, Lee Neal and Mike Balthon ran a phenomenal match. They had over 400 shooters. And it was one of the best Area 4s that I've ever shot, if not the best. So, I mean, theoretically, let's say I win. I think Mike and Lee do a great job. As long as they want it, they keep doing it. If another club wants to bid on it and they can put together a plan that's better than 400 shooters and like bomb tacos in a food truck. But realistically, that's kind of a smaller part of what an area director does. You usually have a monthly meeting. They've been having way more meetings right now because there's a lot going on. But in those monthly meetings, they'll talk about rule changes, division stuff, anything that needs to be implemented to address new rules that are coming out, new divisions, anything like that. And the meetings can be a little long, but it's not anything that you wouldn't have in just your kind of general board of directors meeting.
So,
Yeah.
I have a very important question. Like
Yeah.
any good politician that's running, they have like their thing they're gonna work on. What are you gonna do for food trucks at matches?
Well, you and Greg both know that I seriously think food is an extension of hospitality and kind of how you treat family. So for Area 4, right? Every shooter got tacos at lunch, whether you were the morning flights or the afternoon flights. We had Fuego tacos for you. And if you've ever had Fuego tacos, they're my favorite tacos on the planet. And we do something similar with, Texas Precision, the PRS stuff that I'm involved in. We'll do a crawfish boil on Saturday nights. We do tacos for lunch. We take care of the ROs for dinner. For Steel Challenge, I think that was a big thing that we did was we had an RO dinner the Friday night before the Saturday Sunday part. So ROs shot either Thursday or Friday. We all went to dinner. We got some of the best pizza in College Station, which like it sounds cheesy, but it was like really good pizza. We got way too much.
Cheesy pizza is good pizza.
Oh yeah, dude. It was good. There was allegedly beer at the restaurant. But food to me is kind of one of those things that makes a match something that you remember. And it kind of shows the match director cares.
That's funny. I just knew you'd like food and you would be pushing for the food for the people.
It certainly helps.
How about section coordinators?
So a
Tell us about
section coordinator is under the area directors. So it goes section is kind of like a smaller part, like Texas South section is what we're under. There's also like an Arkansas section. So Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma would be Area 4. So section coordinators kind of deconflict local matches. So if you have, let's say, the South section, you want to try to avoid two matches on the same side of Houston hosting matches on the same weekend. It's across Houston, it's not so bad, but that's kind of your example of what a section coordinator can do. They can also help local clubs get set up with the organization. They can help with anything on running a match, consistency between clubs and rules and things like that. So let's say you've got a club that wants to start up. Someone like Danny Garza is a section coordinator for us. They would help that club get set up, get into the organization, go help run matches if they need training for ROs, coordinate section slots for nationals. Again, lots and lots of busy work, but it has to kind of get done work. Not sexy or glamorous, but I mean, Danny's one of those guys that's like always ROing matches, like always. If it's in the area, he's there probably.
kind of the thankless jobs that if they don't happen, things won't run.
A little bit. I don't envy that job or being an RO at a match, but once you've done it, you kind of get how much work it is, and it helps, I think.
Yeah, I think getting, one the more you get hands-on with matches and organizations and everything, the more you realize actually what all goes into you showing up on Saturday morning and blasting a bunch of targets and then going drinking a beer and going to sleep.
Yeah. Right. So you put on a match, you're zeroing loners, double checking everything, signing people in, and you've got people that want to talk to you, right? So it's a lot before a match. You get it.
Yes, I very much do. It's like I like all of my shooters, and I love, you know, that's probably my favorite thing about shooting is running a match and getting able to, you know, hang out with all these people and, you know, make their day great because I'm putting on a great match for them to shoot. And sometimes I just get wrapped up in, you know, oh, there's all my awesome friends are here. Let's talk to them. And then it's like, oh, it's time for me to get lunch out. It's time for me to do the RV. It's a lot.
Yes. So,
Corey, why would you make a good area director?
Because I care. I think, so when we're talking about like thankless jobs and being a match director, you don't do that for any other reason than you care. I love the organization and the sport, really, because action shooting to me is the most fun way to compete with a gun. I love precision rifles. I love all that other stuff. But the running and shooting is really what keeps me like motivated and I keep training for. And so seeing the organization continue on and get better and improve and recruit more people into the organization is kind of a priority for me. So I feel that, you know, starting in 2014, 2024 is 10 years. I've gotten a lot of cool experiences because of USPSA and Steel Challenge that it really is something that I want to give back to and work to make better for the next group of like people like me, right? People that, you know, found it in college, fell in love with it and just want to go blast, like rage blast. Yeah, exactly. And it's fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So what does the USPSA do well?
USPSA has a phenomenal format for having fun. If you've been to a USPSA match, the culture is just like any shooting culture. They're very welcoming people. They want you to come have fun. They want you to be safe. And they want you to come back. Like those three things are kind of across the board in the shooting community, but USPSA to me is uniquely fun because of the athletic component. So the points over time scoring hit factor is somewhat unique and why I like it. They also have a relatively young crowd now that they've brought in Carry Optics. I think for the last couple nationals, I've been seeing younger and younger shooters, and it's been really, really refreshing to see like people younger than me. Not that I'm getting old, obviously.
that's definitely not what's happening, Corey.
No, absolutely not. It doesn't hurt when I wake up in the morning. Absolutely not. But I think that's what USPSA does really well is they have a really good structure for rules. They have an awesome safety record, but really fundamentally the sport is exciting and fun and really, really cool to do.
While we were shooting NRL 22 on Saturday, we heard the USPSA match on the other side of the berms. I was like, oh, yeah. Go do that too.
Oh yeah. The bang, 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 bang,
bang. Oh no, yeah. They shoot a lot faster than we do now.
Yeah, well, I found out afterwards that David Lyle was there.
I hate we missed seeing him.
So what does Steel Challenge do well?
I think Steel Challenge has a lot of the fun and excitement of USPSA without the movement. And it is probably the best tool in action shooting to bring in new shooters. So if you kind of look at the breakdown of divisions, Steel Challenge is heavily in favor of Rimfire. But if you kind of further break it down, the population is also a lot younger. Youth shooters are massive in Steel Challenge. And that was kind of something that we saw at Area 4. I think Steel Challenge is the best gateway to get new shooters into action shooting. Like you've got your Appleseed type programs, you've got 4-H type stuff to get them exposed to shooting. But for people and like young kids that want to be physical and also shoot, like they want a sport, like a run, use up my energy type sport, I think Steel Challenge is a great first step. And I think it's also awesome for training just repetitive habit. It's very interesting when you sit and shoot a single stage all day for practice for a week, what you can learn from it. And not, I'm not saying that the stages should never change, but they haven't changed in a while now. It's really cool for that kind of repetitive, incremental kind of grind at the high end. Like, how far can I push this? But I guess more broadly speaking, it's better for youth and new shooters. I think that's where Steel Challenge's real value is as a sport.
Yeah, I think that it to me, Steel Challenge is like NRL 22 for rifle. Steel Challenge being for, well, pistol or rifle, but the USPSA kind of more practical shooting. That's the entry gateway into it, that helps you get children into it and all that. Kind of like NRL 22 is for PRS.
Yeah, and that's not to say that that's all it is, because if you look at the like limited division high hit factors in Steel Challenge, like what BJ did to push those times is unfathomable to me. Like it's insane. So even in the center fire side, there's a lot of really cool things that you can accomplish in Steel Challenge. I just don't know that anyone's gonna get near BJ and how fast he shot.
Yeah, some of those guys are stupid fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do kind of like the analogy of kind of comparing, NRL 22 to Steel Challenge, not saying that like they're both, beginner easy courses of fire, but that they're both prescribed stages every month. The Steel
Yeah.
Challenge, it's the same stages for eternity. So you got people that are just, like the PRS barricade.
Yep.
That they
Yep.
just changed, When I first got into PRS, I built a barricade, and I practiced that stage and practiced that stage. I literally had a 8x8 piece of cardboard up 400 yards away in my backyard. I couldn't shoot at it, but I could dry fire on that thing. And boy, but it is nice to have the ability to have some familiarity with what you're doing, because people's
Yeah.
brains work differently. I have some shooters at NRL that, when they're at an NRL 22 match, they'll absolutely smoke those NRL 22 stages because they got them 3 weeks in advance. They've been practicing, they shoot them in their backyard every day. But then, you bring them somewhere outside of that that's not so much their strong suit. And, you see that, okay, their practice of those stages is what really does it for them.
Yeah, and I think the classifier system in USPSA is a model that PRS could also kind of develop towards, right? Because USPSA, you've got ELFRES, you've got all these drills, right, that have become really, really popular, but people don't know that like that's El Presidente is a classifier. But it's a lot of the fundamental skills. You have a turn and draw, you have a reload, you have rage blasting. And so I
Rage
think
blasting, my
to
favorite.
your, well, to your point, I remember putting up ELFRES and for weeks at a time just dry firing the snot out of it. Like every morning, 30 minutes, kind of warm up work, and then we're doing ELFRES, and then we're doing ELFRES. But now I can shoot an ELFRES pretty decent.
I really enjoy this the style where you can do exactly that. So we're about at the midpoint of the show. Remember, if you're watching us live on Facebook, ask any questions you have of Corey in the comments section of the video. We'll ask it live on air. Other ways to catch us, is check back on the Shooter's Mindset Facebook page. The videos stay up there forever. And we usually upload to all the podcast apps the night after the show. Then finally, everything eventually ends up on the Shooter's Mindset YouTube page, so that's a great place to look up past episodes.
So, does there's always drama and some controversy with any shooting sport, you know, PRS, NRL, USPSA, Steel Challenge. Does USPSA and Steel Challenge provide value to clubs? Like, do you need those organizations to, do they give any value to the clubs, or should the clubs just go and do their own thing?
Yeah, that's kind of the question that you always want to answer as an organization, right? You have a classifier system, you have a rule system, but is that valuable to a club? Like, is that bringing the club more shooters? So I think the answer is yes, as a like very weak yes, but I think that you could do much more. So there's a lot of ideas, right? The big one that I can point to that I know worked, right? What we did was we partnered with CCI. In 2021, you couldn't get ammo, right? So we figured out a way to get ammo, and we figured out a way to get ammo for the match only. So you had to be signed up for the match, and you could buy ammo at the match, right? And this again is when you there's no ammo to be bought. That probably gained us 70 shooters. So that's an additional 70 entry fees for the organization, and that's an additional 70 entry fees for the match. And what we can do with that for the match is we can pay the ROs now. Like we can pay them a stipend. So small things like that, working with industry partners, like Federal did the same thing at USPSA Nationals. They made available ammo, right? To purchase at the match, you had to shoot the match, but you could buy it there. Saves you shipping. It also is, you know, awesome at a time when you can't get it. And I think small examples like that, when you have these ideas, that it really just takes someone to implement them, like making a call like, hey, can we do more for the ROs at Nationals? Like, how many companies, Greg, could you talk to and be like, yeah, I'm pretty sure these guys would say yes to anything as long as it helps the ROs.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies out there like that that, you know, if you say, hey, helping the ROs, helping new shooters, anything like that, they'll be all in.
Oh yeah, and the new shooter thing, like how many matches have had a match gun given away to a guy that was having a rough match because of gear, but then, you know, kind of fought through it, got maybe 10% of the shots at a match. But they said, here's a new gun. Like that kind of experience, you can't put a price on, but it brings someone to the sport that like they'll never forget that.
And when you have people at that match, you know, let's say you have 400 people at that match, and you know they go home and oh my gosh, guys, it was so cool. You know, there was this guy that was struggling with his equipment, and you know, at the end of the match, they said, hey, you know, you're having trouble. Here's a new gun for you, so that your next match will go much smoother. You know, I've seen stuff like that
Right.
at the Gap Grind before, but that's
Yeah.
not the only place.
And how many matches do you go to because you've seen something like that where you have a backup gun and it might not even be for you? It might just be for someone else. Right. I've loaned out backup guns. I've used backup guns at Nationals, right? Both ways. So stuff like that, where you can really work with industry partners, I think is not at all utilized. But I think for the clubs, that could be a huge value as well. We're saying, okay, let's set up a club, right? What does it take? It takes targets, it takes target sticks, stands. We're going to need walls, poppers, all sorts of stuff. Does anyone make those? Like, can we help them with like a one-time set up a club code? So like when we bought our steel for Steel Challenge, we bought all eight stages all at once from MGM because they helped us out. Tagged the shit out of them, man. And we've had people go and buy targets. So it's not just a like a one-time, hey, this is charity. It really is a mutual thing. Another thing that I think USPSA does well is they have a good RO program. So like, how much is a good RO worth at a match, Greg?
Priceless.
Right, because that's your shooter experience. You're not on every stage as a match director.
No.
The
People don't
RO.
appreciate the good ROs. The question you need to ask is how bad are the bad ROs? Because
Yeah, how much does
people
it
take for
cost you?
granted the good ones until they have a bad one. And they're like going to the good ones. Oh, thank you so much for being a good RO.
Right. So USPSA's RO program, the club will pay for a guy to come down. USPSA could instead cover that. So you're already donating a weekend to attend the class. Why not cover that and base how many classes you cover in a section on how many national slots you gave out to that section? Because you've already got the data. You just cross-reference that to the number of shooters per RO, and you figure out where the underserved ROs, or sorry, underserved areas, and add RO classes as necessary, as long as you can fill them. So when you have a local match and you have a good RO, you have a good experience, right? Because you're not getting good old boy rules, you're not getting wrong calls. Shooters just shoot and they just have fun. And you've got a guy that says, "Hey man, that was a great run. You did this wrong. We're going to fix it for next time," instead of the yelling and all that stuff. So
Yeah.
the culture that USPSA can kind of grow, like, it's already an amazing sport. It's already amazing people, but they can put a lot more into growing the little things that, I mean, we know as match directors are not little things, but that make a huge difference long term.
Yeah, your ROs, no new shooter is going to be like, man, the board of directors made my first USPSA match awesome. Man, the area director first USPSA match awesome. They're gonna say, man, that RO made my first USPSA match awesome. Because they are your salesman, your customer service. They are the face of the USPSA. And even though, the guy that RO'd squad 7 at the local match last weekend doesn't work for the USPSA, but to the kid that's in college that came out, that is the face of the USPSA. So the ROs are the single most important link to anything there.
And I think the way I would sum it up would be empowering match directors to do everything they want to do. Because you and I both know we've got a budget, but the more we can do, the cooler the match is, the more we grow, right?
Heck yeah.
I want to go back for a minute. You're talking about classifiers. For anybody that doesn't shoot USPSA, we do have an audience that does, PRS solely, and a lot of PRS people do not like the pistols. They want
Thanks
their
for your
rifle
fingers.
to shoot them. But can you explain the classifiers and kind of how it puts you on a national plate?
So you've got a system, right? 100% is top score in USPSA or Steel Challenge for that matter. And you have a percentage base of 100% that puts you in a bin, which is your classification. So GM is 100 to 95, Master is 95 down to 85, and then you have A class, B class, C class, and D class below that. All right. So your first four classifiers, let's say you're brand new, your first four are what are going to classify you. So if you come in and you're pretty good at rage blasting and you hook up, you can classify as B class, right? You get six total classifiers after the first four. And basically what it does is it ranks you on, I think it's a set of over 100 different stages or like drills, based on a high hit factor, which is that 100%. So we're talking about El Presidente, right? Super cool classifier. You turn, draw, shoot three targets with two shots each, reload, shoot three targets again with two shots each. Good time for that. Like, stellar time for that is like a 3-8, and you hit all alphas. Like that's probably going to be above 100%. Really good. Guys get down in like the three fives on Instagram. But what that allows you to do is, let's say you're never going to go to nationals, but you want to know how you would stack up to another shooter that shot that at another match that is, a national level shooter. That's what the classification system really does, is it allows you to say, even if it's just you and your buddies, I shot 95% today. I smoked it. I absolutely crushed it. And my buddy shot like 88% or like 70%, or maybe they popped on into a no shoot at 40. it's that kind of measuring stick without working at like a national match and putting yourself up against top competition. So it gives you something, like for me, it gave me something to kind of strive for and individual discrete goals. And I like that a lot. But that's kind of in a nutshell what it is for USPSA. For Steel Challenge, it's the 8 stages. You hit a certain time on each stage. Your cumulative time is where you end up in your class. So let's say 80 seconds, because that's stupid fast for limited, is your high hit factor. If you can get to 80 seconds, you're really, really good. That was kind of a goal for like BJ, is getting under 80 second fact sites for all of the stages. Wild. So that's how they work.
I think that's good, because I know a lot of people get into sports and they're kind of in their local arena, and you kind of wonder like, well, how do I match up against everybody else? Because you can be totally different in any sport that you're doing. You might be the best one at your local area, but then you go somewhere else and you get smoked by everybody. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really neat that you can do that and you can be competing against everybody across. I just wanted to highlight that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think we have some lives, Greg. You want
to? Yeah. So we'll start with Mike. Mike said, what can you do to bring back former USPSA members? Because we all shoot NRL 22 now.
Man, show them it's fun and they need to scratch that itch again. So something USPSA has been doing a lot better recently is social media and kind of showing off how fun the sport is again. Like, how many times have you thought, man, we used to have a great time quad loading shotguns, right, Jen?
Yes.
I love quad loading.
Her face lit up like a light bulb there.
I would rather do burpees, but still, like, reminding people
what you can do,
fun it used to be. Well, God, no, thank you. So reminding people of like how much fun the game is a really good way to bring someone back. And they'll bring their friend maybe, and you'll bring a group of guys that maybe haven't shot in 3 or 4 years, and they'll just enjoy the crap out of it. But you've got to get in front of them. And I think social media, for better or worse, whether they like us or not, it's a great way to get new shooters, because they see it and they get excited about it.
And then our other live was from Dean. He said, with speed records being broken every year in Steel Challenge, is it time to introduce a new stage or stages? Maybe drop one. USPSA introduced new ones. Why not Steel Challenge?
So this is like one of those 50-50 votes that like 300 people vote on in a sport of like 5,000. I like the 8 stages. I've shot some of the old stages. They're not any different as far as the fun factor. There's a couple that are kind of like difficult to call foot faults and everything. But let's say you run a side stage at Steel Challenge Nationals, right? Show up anytime and there's buku prizes, right? More or less, that's going to get you the high hit factor that you need to figure out, one, what we need to set it at if we're thinking of a new stage, and two, is this going to be a reasonable stage or are people going to break it? And there were a few kind of modifications to some stages that made them more fun, that they weren't breakable. So does Steel Challenge need a new stage? I don't know that it needs one, but I think it could be a fun change. The records being broken, though, I love to see that. I love to see what people are capable of in sport, because I think it's really, really cool to know kind of where the limit is, right? And seeing the limit get broken every year, like when Grant shattered records, right? We had Grant on, I don't know, last year around January. When he was shattering records, it was wild. Like Smoke and Hope with a 118, 115, you're just sitting here like, I can't react that fast.
It's like my draw time.
How is he doing? Well, okay, so it was with a rimfire rifle, but like, how is he shooting that fast? So seeing stuff like that, that's what kind of gets me amped up to say, man, this is really freaking cool. So I don't necessarily think shattering records is bad. I think it's awesome. But a new stage, you could do it, and I think it could be fun. It would have to be fleshed out really well, though. Because what we have now, right? Eight stages are really well fleshed out.
I think it would be interesting to throw something out there, you know, test it in a dark room someplace, and then just be like, all right, you know, it is the last week of March. Here is our new stage. Everybody shoot it in April.
Yeah.
And just see if there's I'd be interested to see your top shooters. Do they stay the top shooters across that stage, or is there a group below that kind of comes up over? That's purely,
believe it or not,
experiments.
People that practice a lot for shooting a thing usually are really good at that thing.
Yeah.
So I saw Joseph's other comment. If you introduce it at Worlds, it's just going to get blown out. Like, yeah, that's kind of the point of the high hit factor to an extent. And right now they're not taking the absolute top times. They're kicking out the, like, I hooked up and just crushed it times. Like, we're not setting a high hit factor like the old school days at three gun, when Daniel Horner just sits out in a field and shoots the classifier as much as he can and then turns in the top time, and like, that's the hit factor. No, that's not realistic. What they had been doing at Nationals was kind of cool. And they've been setting, like, they'll introduce a stage as a classifier and then setting the high hit factor based on Nationals. And they'll kick out, you know, the top X percent of GM and the bottom X percent of GM. But it kind of gave a realistic view of what guys would do at a match. So I don't know the specifics on how to do it, but I'm sure there's plenty of ideas.
So how do we grow the sport at the community level?
I think what we were talking about earlier, figuring out the best use of the organization's funds to empower match directors and empower section coordinators. It's not something that one person can do. I think it's something that you come together and do, but you have that whole structure already. You have the area director, you have a section coordinator and a group of coordinators under them. But having that unified vision is really important on the final product, right? Implementing it, making sure the ROs are done, you know, certified correctly. There's tons of RO instructors, right? The plan has to be there to get to that bottom level of the club growing, right? Of them having two new ROs that can really explain to new shooters, like, this is the reason we have the rule. We're not just trying to, you know, like, say, hey, you have to do this. Like, there's a reason, but it makes sure we can keep doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I so also think there's a few. Sorry?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I think there's a few other sports that are doing really well in community growth. And I think shooting other sports like that, you get exposed to other ideas. And I think it's actually a good thing. Like when we had Tech Games on, they're amazing at social media. But at a match, it's also a very super positive environment. Like, people are cheering for each other actively, and it's very, very family oriented, which I thought was super cool. Like, families camp out, like, and not mom and the kids camping out for dad, like, dad and the kids camping out for mom. So I think shooting other disciplines, you kind of cross-pollinate and get those ideas that you can implement, like, see what they do and do it better.
I do think there is definitely room where the sports can learn off of each other, like you said.
So what needs to happen to fix the board?
Well, the interesting thing right now is a lot of positions are coming up for re-election. Area 1 and Area 4 are currently vacant. And apparently, as of today, so is Area 5. So that kind of happened since this morning. So that's three of the eight positions, the area positions, and then the president is the remaining ninth vote on the board. So if you look at the election cycle, next year, Area 2 is also up for election. So that's half the board, right? In the next year, half the board is up for election. If you don't like where the organization is going, vote. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, especially now that Area 5 is supposedly vacant, that's three area directors that will be voted on in the next 3 months, I think, is the timeline. Yeah, I think it's real easy to change the direction right now.
I definitely think, to Mike's question about how do you get people back in USPSA, I think a lot of people left because they just retired of the, you know, there was some drama and it just was constant. You can go on Facebook. I think people just got tired of it.
Yeah, and that's kind of a difficult one to address. But if you remember when Craig Arnson was on, you remember like that feeling of after the show when you were like super pumped because Craig was pumped? Like you just wanted to go out and make something even if you did nothing in like machining fields? I think, right, Greg is smiling. So I think that can also play the other way, where when you have a lot of drama, what you're talking about happens. So again, like if you fill those three positions with people that are excited to build the sport and are really like genuinely interested in doing everything they can to make sure that there's a sport in 5 and then 10 years from now that's 10 times better than when they found it, like that's kind of a central tenet of what you would want in a person to serve. They make things better than what they found.
Agree. So where do you see USPSA in 5 years? I mean, when we talk about this question, we ask a lot with PRS and other things.
Yeah.
You know, PRS is growing, but they probably have 5,000 shooters. The USPSA has what, 25, 30?
I think 39 was the last count, and Steel Challenge had, I want to say 7,000 to 9,000, but I'm not sure. That one's hard because you also have a USPSA Steel Challenge Cross membership. But anyways, okay, so where is it in 5 years? No more weeds. Crushing it. Absolutely the premier organization for action shooting. I want people coming to my USPSA match and saying, I saw USPSA on Instagram. Not, I saw 3-Gun on TV. Y'all remember when 3-Gun Nation was big, right? It was everything. I want people to come to a USPSA match because they're freaking pumped about the org and they saw somewhere their friend was doing something and they want to do that. Like, that looks awesome. Steel Challenge, I want the same thing, but I want the numbers to be double. I want twice as many members.
So how do you do that? How do you grow it like that? Just by through Instagram, through social media and getting the word out, or
like aggressive inspiration with partners. So you float the ideas, right? What if we put, you know, this USPSA thing in every Glock box? That's, you know, X million Glocks a year, right? So SIG, right? They're doing their SIG, shoot SIG thing, kind of like a Glock match. What if instead of doing that kind of not focused targeting the market, what if you went out and cross-pollinated at the shoot SIG and the Glock matches, right? So Shannon had the shoot SIG thing at Nationals. Why not have someone from USPSA go out to those matches and say, hey, this is your intro. Come out to this, you know, the kind of the bigger action sport now.
Yeah,
like
believe it or not, there could be 5 matches every month within an hour of your house and you never knew it.
Well, and you reach a different demographic, right? You reach the guys that are kind of more defensive oriented, or maybe this is their first match, or maybe they don't really want to do action shooting because they don't know what it is, but they know they took a couple of different defensive tactics classes. There's a lot of different ways to get in and kind of set the hook. But you and I both know that as soon as that hook is set and you hit that like first slam, that first true double of the match, and you're sitting there like, I shot the hell out of that one. Like that feeling, yeah, you're hooked. Like it's over. That's what you're doing.
I think one thing that we did locally, because believe it or not, I used to shoot USPSA.
I believe it.
That's how I started.
Have you re-upped your membership recently?
I have not. but one thing that we did way back, and it's actually what got me into it, I was interested in it. I thought it looked cool. Somebody had said I should try it. And I was like, I can't go show up at a match. I don't know what I'm doing. But they did an intro to competitive shooting class. And it was bring what you have, or if you don't have the right gear, we will have some you can borrow and just kind of test it out, try it out, see what you think. And I went, and they like, it was like an hour and a half of classroom time where they showed you how to draw from a holster. They went over the rules. They went over A, B, C, and D on the target and where you're trying to hit and what the no shoot is. You know, they went through all of those things, talked about classifiers, and then they fed everybody a piece of pizza, and then we all went out to the range, and they had stages set up that like a field stage and a classifier, and like had us walk through, and they were right there with us, you know, giving us the commands to get used to it, and like walked you through every little thing. And I know some of y'all guys probably don't need all that, but it was very encouraging.
No, it's a great idea.
Me, I had never done anything like that. And it made it so comfortable. And then they were like, come to the match Saturday. And so I shot with the same people that led the class. And I still consider them friends today. So, in fact, I just bought one of their rifle for NRL 22. so that, you know, I think more clubs doing that, and maybe a lot of clubs are doing it. I only know about our local one, but I think that's a great way to kind of get people into it. Just got to advertise it well.
So how about this, Jen? That's a great idea. Do you need targets? Right? Being the organization, right? Can we send you targets and stuff you'll need for that class? Mm-hmm. And then can we say, can we also work on coordinating a couple of ROs to help you, right? They don't have to do anything other than help, but I think it's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And to expand on that, right? TAC Games is doing the TAC Games Academy, where they do exactly that. They have a couple different instructors. You go out to the thing, you sign up for it. You learn it under a no timer situation, right? How to wear a plate carrier, how to run a rifle, how to transition to a pistol. Exactly what you're talking about for USPSA. But focus on highlighting that. Send someone out to really show what happened and tell that story.
I mean, USPSA clubs need to team up with their A Girl and a Gun and do a class for A Girl and a Gun. You know how many? We did that one year and then had, what, four or five that still are shooting it and love it, and it came from that. So, you know, think outside the box.
Yeah, the local A Girl and a Gun girl, the lady that does all the instruction, she'll bring two or three people out to a steel challenge or, you know, an outlaw steel match every month, just because of what you're saying, because she's there. Mm-hmm. So how do you work with them, right? One of the things that I'm most proud of at Area 4 Steel Challenge was working with the Scholastic Action Shooting Program. So they have their version of Steel Challenge. But what we did was I talked to their marketing guy. I was like, hey, can we do a trophy that for the top Scholastic team and call it the Scholastic champion, right? They're like, that's a freaking awesome idea. So we recruited all of the Scholastic teams and talked to all of their advisors and tried to get them to come out as a team. Why? One, they're already used to the competition as a team. But two, we wanted more juniors, right?
Mm-hmm. That's how you grow it. Get them young. and they'll stay.
That, and it's really cool to see how much faster they are than you.
That's the main reason I left
Frustrating.
USPSA and three gun, because I can't be that fast anymore.
That's okay. You still, Jen, I believe you can still spin a spinner with one shot as long as it's a turkey load.
I'm not gonna say I didn't gain that.
Yeah.
At the
So one thing that we have been kind of alluding to that I didn't talk about that I probably should be is multi-gun. One of the things that USPSA really did well last year was finding a really good club that put on an amazing multi-gun match and just contracted them to do multi-gun nationals. Like that alone probably, I don't want to say save multi-gun in USPSA, but it definitely put it on an amazing direction. And for better or worse, I don't like shotguns, but I think they're absolutely an awesome format for people that love shooting shotguns, right? Five stands okay, still shooting, running 40 rounds through the woods, more better,
More.
right? Yeah, more better. So I think USPSA as kind of an organization and having that, I want to say format and rules, but more structure could be amazing for promoting multi-gun. I think that's really underserved in the community. I personally just want to do rifle matches, but shotgun, awesome, super cool. Two Gun Nationals was also probably some of the best matches I've shot.
That's true. I think people do want to have nationals. The people that are really competitive in it want to have something to aim for, and
Yeah. And even if you don't want to go to win, going for the event, I think, should be something that people want. Like having such a good match that you just want to go experience it. And then it just like blows your socks off. Like it's the best match you've ever shot. That's what I think you should get out of Nationals.
agree. Definitely agree. Do we have any more lives?
There's a couple. I miss Joseph. He needs to come back.
Let's see. Yeah. So there's lots of comments on the class. Joseph's there.
Sorry.
Do it.
I was reading Joseph's comments.
He mentioned piggybacking an intro with kind of basic fundamentals to work good for new shooters. Mike said do kind of a no time class.
Yeah, we've done that in PRS where we had kind of an aftermatch class, but I think what Jen is talking about is kind of better for USPSA where you don't have to go to the deep end first. I think like a call it a Friday afternoon, Saturday morning match type deal. So the Friday afternoon you do the class and then Saturday morning you come out shoot.
Yeah, and so we actually, she took it when she was starting shooting, and then years later, a group of us actually taught a similar class, to kind of bring
Really?
it.
We taught a class that was just an intro to competitive shooting, and we did a little bit of USPSA, a little bit of Steel Challenge, a little bit of three gun, a little bit of PRS, very little bit of PRS because the range was not really. But now that we have NRL 22, we could do it and incorporate that.
And it kind
Yeah.
of it was designed to feed into the next weekend's USPSA match, where it was literally like, it obviously I am not a, even at the time when I was shooting a lot of USPSA, I'm not a competent, like, I'll get you to win a match, but it's like, hey, here's the things you need to know before you come to a match. Here's how you act at a match. Here's, the basics of shooting to get people super comfortable and ready for their first match. Because it's, at the time I was shooting for 2 or 3 years maybe, and
Yeah.
I remember that step that I had to, build up enough confidence to actually go out there and sign up and shoot a match. So it was designed to kind of help people get over that step, Not like here's your road to Grandmaster, but like, hey, here's your road to before your first stage.
The last thing I think I want a new shooter doing at their first match, and I tell them this, is you're not going to win. Your win is having fun and being safe. And to your point, you don't need that fire hose of information. You need the basics of go out, have fun, and be safe. I think that's a great class.
Somebody one time told me, because I felt a little awkward, I was like, I'm not the best shooter in the world to be teaching these classes. I'm not, JJ or any of the big top, I'm not Jerry Mitchellick or Lena. And they were like, but you're closer to it because you still do have to think a little bit on the, you're not at that level. So sometimes those that are very, very good do it so easily that they forget how to break things down, and just to go back to the very basics, the very generic basics that get you started. So.
My friend Carl is a great example of that. He is a really high level shooter, but he's also kind of older and baby faced, and he has a little bit of a belly, and he's a super nice kind of like a nice old grandpa type guy, but not like in an old way. But he can relate to the new shooter, and he can relate to kind of a female shooter and a giant male shooter. And somehow he's able to give them just the information that they need without too much and without making it irrelevant. And it's very rare to find someone like that.
Very true.
So Josh asked a question. He said, what's the equipment needed for competitions like this? So he said PRS is very equipment heavy, but what is kind of a newbie need to get into either USPSA or Steel Challenge? Like, what's the bare minimum? And I'll tell you what I'll let you go, and then I'll say what I showed up to my first match with.
Man, I'll tell you straight up, if you shoot my matches, just show up. I'll provide everything. First hit is free. So jokes aside, it's a great gear time. Use a pistol caliber carbine, one magazine that holds 30 or more rounds, and you can get through an entire steel challenge stage, right? So you have that option. Or you can bring a Ruger 10/22 with five magazines, all 10 rounders, and shoot the stage, right? That's all you need. General pistol division. Pistol, three mags or enough ammo that you can get through about 60 rounds of shooting, some way to hold the pistol in a holster safely, and maybe some mag pouches for USPSA.
So what I showed up to my first USPSA match with was eyes and ears, a bone stock Glock 19,
Get those.
like four magazines, a Blade Tech holster, and a Blade Tech double mag pouch. And that's
I think,
about all the gear I had for my first almost year of shooting, because I got into shooting right after graduating college and buying a house and like all of those expenses. So I bought ammo and paid match fees for about the first year with literally just that.
I can sort of do the same. My first match, I borrowed a Glock 19 from a buddy. Because he had two Glocks and we shot the match as our first match. And by the end, we were both shooting the 19 because the 19 mags fit in the 19, but they don't fit in the 17. And we needed about 50 rounds to get all the targets down. But between us, we had one gun, one holster, and about five mags. Two of them were the 17 rounders, though. So those were nice.
Nice.
I did my first match with a borrowed Taurus 1911.
Nice.
It was
How many
the
mags, Jen? How many mags?
I think there were like four mags, but I mean, it's only 8 rounds, so
You win. Nice.
I was slow, but and it was borrowed. But
Yeah,
that
but
friend
hey.
taught me how to shoot, and he made me stand in shooters and take that gun apart and put it back together like 3 times before he would let me ever shoot it. I'm like, can I shoot it now? Nope, keep going. I knew how to
Nice.
handle that thing.
But you did it, right? That's all it took was just someone to give you that
Was
push. Yeah.
so fun. I think that's one really good thing about the pistol matches. A lot of people, I won't say most or all, but a lot of people have a Glock 17 or, some pistol at the house, and maybe, go buy a holster and another mag or two. But you pretty much have a good base to get started. And it's just like in PRS. I tell people, do not go buy anything. Go to the mat,
No,
see
no.
what it's like, because you're going to go buy what you think. You're going to spend all this money, and then you're going to get to the match, and you're going to see all the shiny, sparkly things, and you're going to be like, "Ooh, but I want that." So,
Ooh,
yeah, go with what you
shiny
have.
sparkly.
Just
But
sparkly.
Jen, there's more. There's purple magwells.
Oh, wow.
Purplesers.
Never knew you were a purple guy. That's your new color from now on.
I'll tell you straight up, when it's in stock and it's the one you want and it hasn't been in stock for years, you buy the
You don't care, do you?
purple. No, not at all.
That is hilarious. All right, what other lives? Any other lives we need to hit?
Just gonna reply to Joseph's. I will recommend PCC as a first time every time. One of
No,
us.
cheater, cheater,
It's
cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater.
You can't bring a rifle
fine.
to your first pistol match. You gotta at least go through one with a pistol.
If you want to win, you can. Winners win, Greg.
You just said when you come for your first match, you're not gonna win. You are there to have fun.
I didn't win my first match with a Glock.
I'll tell you what.
Neither
I
of
think we're good
us
on the
got
lives.
last. Some guy got DQ'd, unfortunately.
Oh,
Oh.
that is terrible.
Oh.
All right,
Yeah.
last closing question before we do shout outs. Why should the people vote for you?
Because I care. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure the org goes in the right direction.
I
Yeah, if
think
you've been to one of my matches, just expect that same level.
we can attest to that. I mean, we talk to you every week, and you are definitely ingrained in the shooting sports, even more than Greg and I are. You're out there shooting like 48 matches every weekend and stuff. Still not sure how that math on time works out for you to do all that, but you're out there shooting, and you don't just shoot, you also host matches, you promote matches, you an RO, you do all of those things. So I think we can, Greg and I both can attest to the fact that you are very ingrained and very passionate about the sport and want it to grow.
Yeah, hopefully it does.
And you
We'll
want the
get
sport
there.
to enjoy it and to have good food.
Yeah. Maybe I should have run on tacos for everyone. It's
Right.
catchier.
I know. What were you going to do? Mail them to us? Go open your box. Your tacos are ready. Oh.
Tacos.
Hold on. We
Oh.
have a live one. We have a live one.
Mm-hmm.
Corey, if you
Yep.
can only choose one for the rest of your life, would it be hunting or competition?
Funny you asked that. This 308 right here was built for competition, but I've taken it hunting, so I'm gonna go with the dual purpose 308.
You are a politician.
We didn't say which gun would you want. We said which thing would you do.
Yeah, and I chose to answer a different question because I like my answer better.
You're a politician answering completely different. Can't do
I'm
anything.
just glad he
It's
didn't start talking about ice cream and pizza.
all fun, right? Oh my God, I'm so hungry too. We gotta end it quick. Oh.
I had my ice cream. All right, we will wind it down to shout outs. We will go with Greg.
Oh, so I'd like to shout out Hunter's HD Gold because, like, I'm super blind and I can actually see stuff. I got the brand new aviators. Awesome. If you see any of the three of us at any match, we generally now all have some pairs that you can try out if you'd like to see the difference.
Yep. All right, cool. Glory. How about you?
I want to shout out people that volunteer for the sport. I genuinely think it's part of the culture that really makes this kind of shooting sport thing unique. And without people giving their time, it doesn't happen. So I think that's who I want to shout out.
You think. All right. And I want to shout out two things. I want to shout out HD Gold for supporting us. They've kind of supported us, and Damien just got his in the mail, even though it got delivered to the neighbor. We finally
Nice.
get them. So he has some HD Golds now. And of course, I have mine that I've been wearing HD Golds for 4 years, 5 years. My first pair was not prescription, I think, and that was a hot minute ago. So it might be more like 5 years ago. So I've been wearing them for a while, and they are just great, great glasses. So shout them out. And then I want to shout you out, Corey, for all that you do for the sport, because you are, I don't know when you sleep, because you are constantly doing and shooting and doing more and running matches. And you make me tired just looking at you on Facebook. Like, oh my gosh, he's doing stuff again. How's he have time? But and with a full-time job. So shout out to you for all that you do to help grow this sport. We really do appreciate it. And I hope everyone votes for you. So make sure if you are a member of Area 4 that you get that vote in for Corey K. Although his last name is a lot longer than that, probably on the ballot. But make sure you get your vote in for him. And with that, we will see everybody next week. That'll be a wrap for episode 433.